hear the singing and the young people of how they were inspired this week, and I thought it would do me well to have been there as well to hear some of the things they talked about. And seems like at a young age we want to look after the practical things and try to keep it simple, and I think that's good for us as well too, to keep it workable and understandable. And I was just thinking this week of the Lord has worked in many ways. We heard of the funeral of that little girl or Deborah there that was killed or passed away, and I think that sometimes God's ways are not our ways, and that he likes to soften some hearts. And may the Lord help us to understand that a little better. So that today sometimes we go through life and we get in situations where we need some help and we need some inspiration from above. And I was thinking about the wisdom of God and where, Lord, to help us to have wisdom in the way we operate in our life, and that we can be a true witness of God here on earth. And if you look at the scriptures, it is full of ways to get wisdom. It's full of ways to describe wisdom and how that God is wisdom. And I thought we would just talk a little bit about that today, and I'm not sure where it will all lead, but I trust the Lord here. But I would like to have a word of prayer here before we go any further, to that the name of Christ would be glorified. So let's pray. Yes, Lord, we do come to you this morning. We come to you in Jesus' name. Father, we want to give thanks, first of all, for our health and our the body of Christ, Lord, brethren that of like precious faith, Lord, that we're in this warfare together and that we're soldiers in an army that is marching towards Zion. And Lord, we know there's many afflictions and many tribulations and that challenge us, Lord, and I pray that we could have our eye upon the mark of the high calling of God, and that we could press, Lord, press in toward the kingdom of God. Help us, Lord, to desire and pursue the things that you desire and are pleased with. Help us, Lord, to serve our fellow men with fervency, and Lord, help us all here to recognize the urgency of the hour that we live in. The day of the Lord is at hand, the scripture tells us, and I pray, Lord, that we could be zealous of the kingdom of God, and that we could be filled with the truth and grace of God, and that our hearts would be overflowing with the joy of the Lord as we speak to people, that we might inspire them to draw nigh to God. And Lord, we pray that you would draw nigh to us here today. We need your help. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if we think about the wisdom of God, there was many scriptures. I believe that if we look at Proverbs 8, I'm not going to look at that today, but that's a description of Jesus Christ in all his wisdom. He is the wisdom of God in many ways. But what I was looking at was in Job chapter 28. I'd like to read that because there's a question in the middle of that chapter. You can turn with me there, the book of Job, chapter 28. And I don't intend to cover all of the wisdom of God, but I'd like to look at a few things here. Job chapter 28. Toward the middle of the chapter there, he says he has this question. If I can get turned to it here. He has this question here that says, "But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding?" You know, we live in a in a society that is endued, or so they think, with knowledge. That they stress that we have so much knowledge at our fingertips. It is just, you look after it, there it is. If you want to find anything out, you just Google it. It's there for you. And it's but Job's asked this question, where shall wisdom be found? Where shall understanding be gotten from? And I believe that if we're willing to humble our hearts and ask God, that He will grant us wisdom. He will give us understanding. He promises that. In James chapter 1, verse 5, he says that if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, and He giveth liberally to anyone that asketh, and He upbraideth not. That upbraid, that means that He does not scold or angrily or reply, like when our children continually ask for something, we can reply in an upbraiding tone and say, it's about enough. You know, God is not that way. He'll respond each time we ask, if we ask in faith and according to His will. He grants us that wisdom. I'd like to just read that verse just for clarity's sake. James chapter 1, verse 3. We'll come back to that later on, but in the beginning here. Now, when you face, everybody faces a tough or challenging situations in life, but God is not confused by the confusion that is in this world. He is not confused at all. God is a God of clarity and simplicity. If any of you lack wisdom, James 1 verse 5, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally as much as you need, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That means to upbraideth means to scold or rebuke angrily. God does not get irritated when we ask often, like we do sometimes when our children ask often. God is not that way. He upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. But I'd like to turn to, but just in, I look at that question, doesn't everyone desire wisdom? The world likes to have knowledge. When someone asks you a question, you like to have the answer. But God is a God of answers. Let's just read that chapter there, and then what it stresses here is that the wisdom of God is in everything, is in His creation. It testifies of His great wisdom each day. And we'll read some of those things and just ponder it with me here. It says, verse 1 of chapter 28 of Job, it says, surely there is a vein for the silver and a place for gold where they find it. And listen to all of these substances and the things that he's talking about that we're very familiar with. It says, iron is taken out of the earth and brass is molten out of the stone. He setteth an end to darkness and searcheth out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. I think about that shadow of death. God knows our ending, our beginning and our ending. The flood breaketh out from the inhabitant, even the waters forgotten of the foot. They are dried up and they are gone away from men. As for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under it is turned up as it were fire. See, that's the, I believe that's where hell is. For as for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under the earth it is turned up as it were fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it hath dust of gold. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passeth by it. He putteth forth his hand upon the rock, he overturneth the mountains by the roots. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, his eye seeth every precious thing. This is God. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. Man cannot understand where this wisdom is coming from. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx, or the sapphire. Speaking of jewels that the world holds in high regard. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. It cannot be bought. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? That question again. Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the wind, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Now, I just like to think about that just a little bit. When we see how God operates, if we're willing to be honest, these things that we don't understand, it should bring us to our knees, and it should bring us to a reverential fear of the Lord. That is the beginning of wisdom. And then to depart from evil. If those two things, those two foundational truths, if we have them in right order, God can reveal his wisdom to us. If we have them in right order, he can reveal, and we will see in the scriptures how God reveals his wisdom to us. And we want to, and in Psalm 104, it says that, O Lord, Psalm 104, verse 24, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. And manifold, the definition of that, there's several words for that, or several scripture verses with that word in. But manifold means, I'm sure you all know, but it means diverse kinds, many in number, numerous, multiplied. The root word of manifold is many. It means many. How manifold are thy works? And we turn to I'd like to read another scripture here in 1 Peter 4. We'll turn back there. 1 Peter 4. Well, let's just let that go for right now. I'll come back to that later. But I'd like to turn to Isaiah chapter 11. And this scripture here is a prophecy of Christ. Isaiah chapter 11. And it's speaking of the peaceable kingdom of the branch that out of the root of Jesse, which is Christ. And let's turn to that, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. And the promises that he gives us here. It says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. You see how this is a description of Jesus Christ. And all those attributes there, it says that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might. That could be counsel is someone that you ask of, that you seek out, that you inquire. And might is power. The Spirit of power is going to be within Jesus Christ. And knowledge, and also, if Christ is in us, we have the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. Christ, he knows where we're at. He's of quick understanding. When we come to him, he understands it completely. We don't have to wonder if he knows where we're at or how it's going. He's of quick understanding. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. There's a lot in that verse there. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. There's an attribute of Jesus Christ. We don't hear too much about that today, because we hear that for God so loved the world. And it's so true that God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But in John chapter 12 it says that I came to judge no man, but the word that I have spoken, they shall judge thee. That's what he's saying. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. The word that I have spoken, they shall judge you. And then he also says that in another place there, where I think it was in the parable of the talents, where he said that when he distributed those talents, and that they was he spread or gave them to three different people, and the two went and worked with their talents, and they multiplied them, and the third one came, and he had his talents. He said, "Take them. I know that you're a hard man, and I didn't work with them." He says, "And take that, take from him, and give to those that have ten. The one that didn't work with it, give it to one that have ten." And then the onlookers said, "Well, that's not fair." And Jesus said, "Bring them up before me and slay them." Think about that. That was Christ himself. He shall rule. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And he goes on and talks about the animals that they're going to. I don't know when all this is going to take place, but in that kingdom, I think Moses touched on that, was here when the animals that violently oppose one another are going to be able to lie down together. And then in verse 10, let's skip on down to that. He says, "In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign to the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. The peace of God. Jesus said, 'Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, ye shall find rest for your souls, and that rest shall be glorious.' And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." God wants a church that is a true and living ensign, a sign that people can see clearly without doubt that this is the church of Jesus Christ. And it says, "The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly up on the shoulders of the Philistines toward the rest. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hands upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon, they shall obey him. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and it shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like it was to Israel in the day that it came out of the land of Egypt." Now there's that Assyria could be, I believe, is the Muslims. God is still going to call that group of people. We can see it here, and I believe that was, one of the brothers from Pennsylvania wrote about this a little bit, about Assyria is going to be, that their God is still desiring that the Muslims come into that kingdom that he prophesied of here. But just some attributes there, and then there's a few more scriptures about the wisdom. In Romans 11:3, it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of both of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." The thing that this wisdom The wisdom of God is able to get or apprehend divine truth. It is able to understand when He speaks to us. It's not, we pray that Lord would grant us wisdom, and He does. And it also, that same wisdom, it also helps us lay an immovable foundation. In Matthew 7:24, familiar words, He says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." A wise man that built his house upon the rock. I believe that scriptures are the source of heavenly wisdom. In 2 Timothy, that's when he tells them that thou hast known the scriptures from the youth. They were able to make you wise unto salvation. And then we look at James chapter 3, and we see, I don't have a real long message here today, but just something that, you know, helped me, to try to help me in my life. You know, James chapter 3, a very familiar verse there. I believe wisdom is to be sought after and prayed for. When Paul, in all of his churches, he prayed for the church at Ephesus, the church at Colossae. He prayed that they would be filled with the wisdom of God. And may we can pray for one another in the same way that our brothers are filled with the wisdom of God, because that we're going to need it. We need it more today than we did ever before. In James chapter 3, it says here that a very familiar verse. Let's begin reading in James 3, verse 11. It says, "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive branches, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Then he asks a question, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." And I'd like to look at some of, you know, sometimes the wisdom, there's people that sometimes will act like they have wisdom, or I don't know how to say it, but then there's some of these attributes that follow that I believe that we can discern. Sensual, you know, I believe if there's a spirit of sensuality, or, you know, the spirit of pursuing, thank you, fashions and the ways of the world, that is not the wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of the world. And make no mistake that when these attributes are clear, that we can draw a conclusion. It says, "For where envying strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." But then it says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." And I believe that those fruits there are in direct correspondence with the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Meekness, gentleness, they about repeat themselves. But, you know, to have those character traits is a sure sign that the wisdom is from above. And this is what we're asking for when we go to James chapter 1. You know, it's not, and I don't believe that God is not, He does not deal His wisdom out in portions or restraint to whoever, or with, what is the word I want, is, He's not a respecter of persons. That's what I want. God, if any man ask, it says here, but let him ask in faith, and then nothing wavering, knowing that let us not ask amiss. You know, we don't want to ask something that is not according to God's will. And I believe that we have the Spirit of God that we can ask according to His will and not be ashamed to ask. He'll never scold us or scold us for doing that. He wants us to ask in faith. And I had to think about, you know, sometimes the wisdom, may the Lord help us to, in Ephesians 3, I'd like to turn to that a little bit. Well, let's go to, it says in here that, I'd like one verse here yet, in Proverbs 3:14, it says, wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. All the things that may be desired are not to be compared to wisdom. Think about that. The things that the world wants you to long after pursue, they're not to be compared to the wisdom of God. Not for a minute. And then if we turn to Ephesians 3, I'd like to read some scripture there. But maybe let's turn to Matthew 7. There was a verse that I've been pondering here. I believe that God, and I'm going to just leave this as a question for you all. Matthew 7, and I don't have, you know, this has been going through my mind. But I believe that God, through His Spirit, has given us the ability to have wisdom to discern, to have a heart that when we look at it and study it, we can come to a right conclusion. What I was thinking about was in Matthew 7, when I read these verses here, I just thought about them again here. It says in verse 15 of Matthew 7, it says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Another question. He's just saying, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits, ye shall know them. And if we turn to John chapter 15, he's here again talking about the union between Christ and the church, but he talks about this fruit in the tree again. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Verse 1 of John chapter 15. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And I think about this is, if we pray for discernment, my question to you all is, when is that time? When is that time that we can, in these verses here in Matthew, he's really not talking about trees and grapes and fruit, is he? He's just making an application. He's just trying to get us to understand. He's not talking about an apple tree that has apples on it, if it does or doesn't, or grapes that have fruit on them. He's just saying, by their fruits ye shall know them. And my question that has been going through my mind, and I don't have the answer, but when is that time when we can, or maybe we should ask, is this scripture valid and in effect today? I think it is, isn't it? It has to be. It's the living word of God. When can we draw a right conclusion from these scriptures here? That's my question for you all. I don't know. You know, I've been pondering that in my own heart. It says, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And Jesus, in all of his parables, he would give natural workings to give us a clear understanding. Natural things, the things that we live with daily, to make spiritual, scriptural applications for us today. He goes on to say that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Then he says that, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So that's my, you know, just is it what I would just stress here is, let's not make this a great mystery here. Just let's, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Just to ponder that in our own hearts, mine first. In my own life, I can brief my own life in that. But let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And read a few scriptures there. Ephesians chapter 3. I think we'll begin reading in verse 1. And Paul here he's stressing here, I believe, that in a lot of his epistles that there's God has further revealed himself. Be aware that the revelation of God has opened up, and you'll see that more than it was in the old covenant by a long ways. It says, for this cause. But let's in the end of 2, he talks about let's begin reading in chapter 2, so we have, because Paul begins chapter 3, for this cause. Okay, verse 19 of chapter 2 of Ephesians, it says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners. You're not aliens anymore, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for the habitation of God through the Spirit. The brotherhood of Jesus Christ is where God lives. And then he begins chapter 3. It says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I write afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. There's that word again, manifold. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. And I'm going to quit reading there, but I believe that God has enabled the church to have a manifold avenue of outpouring by the many. Manifold means many, and it means that the manifold wisdom of God is to be revealed through many ways by the body of Christ. It can come in many ways by that effectual working of the body of Christ. That's God's intent. That's God's intention. Think about that. It's what God intended. Help us understand that, Lord. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And we think about the manifold wisdom of God that God wants to reveal to us. We cannot even number or begin to number the wisdom of God and how He operates. But God wants the church to find it out. He has that heart for the church. And let's turn to James, or 1 Peter chapter 4. There was a few verses there I wanted to talk about a little bit. And then I have I'd like to read something in Revelations here yet. First Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, beginning reading in verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. This is Peter. His epistles are short, but they're right to the point. It says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." But the verse I'd like to concentrate on is verse 10. I'd like to just think about that verse, each one of us here this morning. As every man hath received the gift of salvation is what he's talking about here, the gift of Jesus Christ, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The thing that come to my mind is, are we a people that desire or long to be ministered to? Or are we people that we don't need ministry? We have the answer. Let's be careful. You know, he says here, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That many-faceted grace that we have, that we're able to minister and able to receive ministry. We need it in this life. We won't survive without it. That's the beauty of it. And as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The Bible says that it's required in stewards that they be found faithful. Life is about responsibility in the Christian walk. It's about faithfulness. It's about the children. You know, one of the main themes at Bible school was to be faithful in the little things. Is that not for us too? The little things. God requires us to be faithful in what He's shown us, that we can be ministering one to another as good stewards of His good graces. Then I was just reading last night, and it just humbled my heart here in Revelation chapter 5. This was, I believe that with all my heart, if we pursue wisdom in sincerity and truth, when we read, this was John in his visions here, and if we read these things, it just it about made me weep. But the people of God, if we pursue wisdom and ask Him in faith to lead us on, we will get to be here. I want you to think about that. We will be in His presence. In chapter 4 of Revelation, it says, verse 10, the 24 elders, this is what John saw. The 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Chapter 5. And I saw, may the Lord prepare our hearts for this. And I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, that branch we read about. The root of David hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I believe that's a power that that Christ wants to give His church upon the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. I believe that that will be the culmination or the climax of the body of Christ seeing all of God in His glory and wisdom. It is amazing. But I would just, it made me weep when I read that last night. Do we have that in view? It's something to think about. Do we have that in view? Do we want to be there? May the Lord keep us humble in His sight. I think that is all I would have for this morning. If there was something that was sung here or preached that wasn't according to the Scriptures, why, I would like to be approached, and I would try to receive it with love. And may we continue to pray for one another. And may the Lord, I believe that the Lord has promised that if we, any of you lack wisdom, me, if I lack wisdom in areas, things I don't understand, that I can boldly come to Him and ask of Him. And He gives liberally. So I'll leave you with that. May God be glorified. Thank you.